Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I woke up a little bit of hoarseness this morning. I don't know. I woke up fine, got up about 5 o'clock. I feel great. The locusts have seemed to have shut down today. They're not as loud. But I got something right in there. I'm going to try to cough out best that I can. Good morning to all of you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 of us. We got room for a couple more. Want to join us here in the queue. This is going to be a hot show, I promise you. And I'm excited to be able to be here to try to enlighten you a little bit today. I don't know about you guys. Man, I'm beginning to see the big picture so much better. I feel all along I've been seeing the big picture, but I'm beginning to see it more and more clearly all the time. And I want to make you aware right now that tomorrow, I'm sorry, guys, you don't want to miss today. You're already here, so you're not missing it. But you don't want to miss tomorrow either. Because tomorrow we're going to do a show on, you guys probably aren't even aware of this, the world's largest, longest tunnel in the history of the world has been dug over in Switzerland. And yesterday on 6/6/16, I could get into numerology. Some people really, really take it seriously. And I understand why. 6/6/16. They had a huge, huge parade at the opening of this large tunnel in Switzerland, and it was nothing but a glorification of the devil. And we have video of that. And I thought, well, you know, I think I'll show them that today, but I'm not ready to do that yet. It's not appropriate. But we are tomorrow, and we're going to talk about it tomorrow. Folks, guys, listen, I've been telling you up front as strongly as I can, that there are evil spirits that are at work in this nation. Evil spirits. And I believe that there are those, even though people don't want to believe this, I believe there are entry points, access points into the natural realm that are being opened. Some of them are being opened by sin, no doubt about that. But some of them are being ground open, I believe, by the devil's kids. One of those things, what I'm going to show you tomorrow, I didn't dig this up. What you're going to see tomorrow is going to make you nervous. Made me nervous. In fact, my wife asked me about it. I said, I don't want to show you that yet, honey. You don't need to know that. So make sure you're here tomorrow. Tell all your friends about it, that we're going to talk about the Baphomet. You know what a Baphomet is, don't you? A goat. I mean, it is unbelievable if you haven't seen the video of this ceremony where they're literally trying to open the portals and invite the devil in. Get it on film. It's amazing. Going to do that tomorrow. But that's not what we're going to do today. We're going to start today in Luke chapter 16. So those of you who have scriptures, you can get them ready. And I've been working for about an hour, a couple hours now on this program today. Actually, that's not true. I worked an hour on it yesterday. And we didn't use it. I'm working an hour on it today. We are going to use it. And I got to tell you something. JR says I'm blurry today. I still blurry, JR? I'm looking at the thing over here. I'm sorry if I'm blurry. I'm trying to do it straight out of my hard wire here today. I was hoping my audio and video would be better. So, sorry. Maybe I'll go back to the wireless if that works better. We were having a discussion before we went on the air today. Some of us get in here a little bit early. And I hate to keep harping on this. That's a lie. I don't hate to. I mean to keep harping on this. We don't understand that this is a spiritual war. We don't understand that the devil's actively working. The devil and his children, the devil and his minions are actively working to undermine us, undermine Christianity, undermine all that's good. And even though we have an American point of view, which, by the way, is really kind of hurt us, I think, we don't see the world as it really is. We see the world as American. We see Christianity in particular as American Christianity. American Christianity is like no other Christianity in the world. Christianity in China is underground for the most part. People have to sneak. And I think I told you my buddy Cal Zastro told me of a church in China that he's visited, an underground church, where they get their stripes, if you will, where their church is honored not by its growth, but by the number of martyrs they've had. The real Christianity, the Christianity we're living in America isn't real Christianity. It's a form of it, but it's not the real thing. And the Christianity that we have in America has been poisoned by humanism, and where instead of God being the center of our faith, we are the center of our faith, and God just comes along and joins in the celebration of honoring us. That's the Christianity that we're dealing with. And because we have such a self-absorbed Christianity, self-focused Christianity, we don't understand the larger picture. See, it's not about you and me. This battle, this thing that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places, it's not about you and me. Oh, we have our own personal struggles, certainly, financial struggles and health problems, but they're not always direct assaults from the devil, even though that's what they want to tell us in our churches. Because if they tell you that in your churches, then you're going to be more likely to go there in times of need. And I have no problem with going to a church in time of need. But they go there for that spiritual covering that they all talk about. You give your money, and they continue to talk to you about stuff that's absolutely irrelevant to what's going on in the world. That's another video, JR. I got to pull up and at some point here and talk about why men won't go to church. If you've been watching this program for any length of time, you know why men aren't going to church. Am I coming through, guys? I feel like I'm frozen here. Somebody give me a thumbs up. Or have I lost it? I feel like I'm frozen.
You're working. We can hear you.
Okay. Because it looked on my screen like it froze. Thanks, Jared. I was ready to try to reboot there. So what I want to try to do, maybe I scare some people off. I really believe probably have done that. Truth is scary. I'd rather know the truth and fight than believe a lie and whatever. So I try to bring to you today, bring to you on this program, stuff that other people aren't bringing. It is not. Stuff that we ought to be hearing about in our churches, but we're not. And I apologize for that they're not giving it to you, but we're going to continue to give it to you no matter how scared you are. I'm going to continue to bring things to the table that I may not have 100% validation on, but in the multitude of many counselors is great wisdom, and maybe you guys can help direct me if I'm missing something, that together we can come to the truth. Now, I'm a bit distracted right now, Jared, I'll admit, because all the guys on my screen are frozen. But you're telling me that everybody can hear me.
We can hear you. And we can see you.
Okay. I just got it. Give me a thumbs up. I know you're live.
I'm doing it. My thumb is
okay,
up.
Okay, see. I'm not seeing it. So I don't know what the issue is.
It's your computer. Right. Your computer's probably running something. It's a hardware thing, I think.
Okay.
You think so?
I was going to unplug my. So Jared, since I can't see everybody. I can see him frozen. If somebody wants to sign on, we got to go.
Okay. All right.
I'm not a computer nerd, but by golly, I do know that sometimes my router, instead of the computer, my router gets clogged up or something.
Okay.
I don't know if the neighbors are trying to bleed off of it or what, but I unplug my router for a few seconds, plug it back in, then things straighten out again. I don't know.
Okay. I don't have time to do that now. I heard you, Larry, but I didn't see you speaking, so the audio is working. I don't know what's going on with the video. But let's go to Luke 16 a little bit before I crack some of this stuff open. Luke 16, chapter 1, because this came up in the discussion that we had before we went on the air. And he And he said unto his disciples, this is Jesus. In fact, Luke is almost all red. It's almost all him speaking. Luke was a note taker. He was a doctor. There's a certain rich man which had a steward. The same was accused unto him that he'd wasted his goods. Now stop a minute. Jesus is our rich guy. He's that rich man. And we are his stewards. Now this is talking about finances, if that's what you want to look at. But it's really talking about giftings, okay? Giftings and abilities. All of a sudden, my screen started working again. And so the same, we are the, we're the stewards of what the Lord's given us. And that he's noticed that we've wasted a lot of what he's given us. Again, you can keep this financial if you want to. I don't think it is. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of you? Give an account of any of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer my steward. God, think about that. The Lord calls you and says, hey, Harrison, I gave you a gift. What have you been doing with that thing? And if you can't show him, he says, well, I'm going to take it out and give it to somebody else then. You're not going to do anything with it. See, we look at it as money. That's not what I'm looking at. These are giftings, talents.
Coach, you want me to read for you?
Yeah, go ahead. That'll help. Then I'll interrupt you. Verse 3.
Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my lord.
Within himself, right? He didn't say it out loud. He's trying to strategize. He got me here. Go ahead.
For my lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig to beg. I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of the Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord?
Stop. Again, I don't think we're talking about money. I think we're talking about giftings and talents that he's given to us and how we have been using them. We are going to give an account to him. Now, I don't know if this is a salvation issue, but he's put him out. That's something that would concern me a great deal. And bringing into line the idea that wide is the gate and narrow, right? Many and few. And so we're standing before the Lord. We're giving accounting for what we've done. Keep going, JR.
And he said, an hundredth measures of oil. And he saith unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50.
So he rewards him for using his gift. Keep going.
Then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80.
Same thing.
And the Lord commended that unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of the world are in their generations wiser than the children of the light.
Okay, read that again, JR. Hey, folks, listen, don't miss this. Please do not miss this.
And the Lord commended.
Let me stop you a second, JR. I'm sorry. Listen, guys. This is talking about money, but it's not talking about money. And here's the truth. The devil's kids are using their gifts far better than we're using ours. Would somebody say amen on that for me?
Amen.
They are using their gifts better than we are using ours. We've all been gifted a lot. We're going to be held accountable for how we use those gifts. And what did the Lord, the wise steward, I'm sorry, the Lord, what did he just say? Read that again, JR.
And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of the world are in their generation wiser than the children of the light.
Who's smarter in the world? The devil's kids. The devil's kids are smarter.
And I say unto you, make yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, yet when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations.
What the heck does that mean? Huh? Make to yourself friends of money of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. What the heck's that mean, Larry? What the heck's that mean?
Hey, I think Jesus is being very, very sarcastic here, in my opinion.
Uh-huh.
He's telling his disciples is who he's speaking this to. So I don't think this is a parable. I think this is a teaching of Jesus to his disciples. My version of the New King James here calls this a parable in the subtext, the subheading, which aren't part of the Bible. They're just added by the editors. Okay. So I don't think this is a parable. I think he's being pretty clear with his disciples. And at this point, he's being sarcastic. He says, "Hey, you guys, you supposed children of the light that are here in working in the ministry with me, guess what? You guys aren't near as sharp as these guys out here in the world doing the worldly stuff. So you just go ahead and do their stuff, because if you can do their stuff, then you can handle this stuff." He's trying to tell them, grow up, get in the fight, start using what you got.
Larry, that's good, man. That's exactly right. And so what have we as the church done? We have said this: we're not of this world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. So therefore, we've given over the entire operation, stewardship, if you will, of the world to the devil's kids. We've given it over to them. And Jesus says to them, those devil's kids, they're so much smarter than you guys. You guys. Now, I don't know where it is, because I want to get moving here. The scripture, Jesus tells us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. I think I've used that scripture before. And I said, why, Lord, wise as a serpent? I don't think of a snake as being wise. Although he did beguile Eve, didn't he? So why not wise as a fox, or wise as an owl, or wise as a serpent? I think it parallels that the devil's kids in worldly matters are smarter than we are. And because they're smarter than we are, we need to study what they do and apply the same tax. Hey, wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Why are we not bringing lawsuits? Why aren't there thousands and thousands of lawsuits against Target right now? Why are there not thousands and thousands of lawsuits against our public schools right now? If some homosexual was mistreated, quote, at Target, how many lawsuits would already be filed? They'd be coming from a thousand different directions. Why? Because this world only understands unrighteous mammon. That's all they understand. And we're so stupid that we don't understand that the way you get things done is to try to get their unrighteous mammon. When you do that, you get their attention. We'd rather forgive, and we want to turn the other cheek and all that kind of stuff. Well, you go ahead and do that, and your personal salvation, you know, that might be, but everybody else is going to get run over. Anybody? Matt?
Yeah, Dave, I think your point is well taken when you stop and look at it. Less than 3% of the population are homosexual, but yet they got gay marriage passed. Less than 0.3% of the population is gender problems, and they have the president standing and put in their back pocket. So is what Satan has done. He has destroyed the church, which has been the only defense against these issues. So you're absolutely right. Satan's minions are much smarter and more aggressive and more determined and less apathetic, like he said the other day. Less apathetic than what people that call themselves Christians are. Amen. That's it.
That's because we believe this is not our home. We're just passing through. We're just sojourners. We're just ambassadors. So if I was an ambassador to a foreign country, and the foreign country got overrun as I was an ambassador, was I a good ambassador? Was Chris Stevens a good ambassador? Well, sadly, he might have been an okay ambassador, but the government let him down, right? And so if we're ambassadors, if we are just stewards, how effective are we being at our stewardship? I could continue on reading down there, but I want to move on. I wanted to get that scripture in because Roger likes a little bit of scripture, but Roger slept in today because it's a vacation. So he'll have to catch it on the rebound. Okay, so here I've told everybody that we're going to do a little bit of Cloward and Piven this morning. And I think this is really, really important. Here's what I want us to do, Jared. Let's go in this order. This first one, Jared, it says the Cloward and Piven video, turn off the sound. Okay, you know what I'm talking about, Jared. Let's pull that one up. There is sound to this, guys. let me lay a little bit of the foundation for you. Roger, you just missed it, man. You got to go back and catch what you just missed because it was good. Luke 16. But you can catch it. Now that you're in here, we're glad you're in here. Cloward and Piven, they were professors, communist professors at Columbia University. I don't know if you know this or not. Columbia University is probably the most communist university in America. Now, a lot of them are catching up to it, but Columbia is so far off. I mean, it's unbelievable. So Cloward and Piven were two professors at Columbia University who determined back in the 1960s how they would overthrow America. And the way that they were going to overthrow America was through crisis, particularly overwhelming the nation economically through welfare. It was called the Cloward and Piven strategy. In fact, we've heard Rahm Emanuel say, never let a crisis go to waste. Everybody heard that? Ever heard that? Never let a crisis go to waste. We now see a government that's creating crisis, and this is going to be revealed to you as we continue, as we go through this thing. Now, I'm going to read this as we go through because it's all, none of it, it has music, underbedded music. But other than that, I have to read it because there are people listening who can't see the screen, okay? So that's why we have to read it. Not that you guys can't read. But the Cloward and Piven has been the strategy that's been employed by the Obama administration since they came into office. And it's nothing new, but it's really, really coming to fruition now. Jared, let's go ahead and pull that up there for everybody if we can. This is about 9 minutes, I think. Hey, JR, maybe if you could see, maybe you could read it for us. Is he able to do that, Jared? Can you have that play and JR read? Let's see what we do.
Yeah, if you click on my screen while it's going, everybody should be able to watch it.
Okay.
All right. So you don't want sound?
I don't want sound because it's just a bed of music, okay? And they can listen to it later. But just go ahead and let it play. And JR, if you will, just kind of read what's on the screen for us if you can see it.
I can't read some of it because of the emblems that are up the top of the screen.
Okay, here we go. I'll do it. Go ahead and start it then, Jared. It's time to cast aside all remaining doubt. President Obama is not trying to lead America forward to recovery, prosperity, and strength. Quite the opposite, in fact. That's the opening screen. In September 2008, American Thinker published James Simpson's article, Barack Obama and the Strategy of Manufactured Crisis. He connected then-presidential candidate Barack Obama to individuals and organizations practicing a malevolent strategy for destroying our economy and our government. This is known as the Cloward-Piven strategy. There are the two, Richard Cloward and Francis Fox Piven. The strategy is summarized as follows. The strategy of forcing political change through orchestrated crisis. The Cloward-Piven strategy seeks to hasten the fall of capitalism by overloading the government bureaucracy with a flood of impossible demands, thus pushing society into crisis and economic collapse.
Coach, I can read for you.
Good. Thanks, Mike. Go ahead.
And that was David Horowitz from discoverthenetworks.org. And Richard Cloward and Francis Fox Piven were two lifelong members of Democratic Socialists of America who taught sociology at Columbia University. In a May 1966 Nation magazine article titled The Weight of the Poor, they outlined their strategy, proposing to use grassroots radical organizations to push ever more strident demands for public services at all levels of government.
So they want to get as many people in government on the government dole to overload it. That's their strategy.
Cloward and Piven were two lifelong members of Democratic Socialists of America who taught sociology at Columbia. In a May 1966 Nation magazine article titled...
The result.
the result they predicted, they enlisted radical black activist George Wiley, who created the National Welfare Reform Organization, to implement the strategy. Wiley hired militant foot soldiers to restore welfare offices around the country, violently demanding their rights. Welfare rolls increased from 4.3 million to 10 million by the 70s, and in New York City alone, welfare caseloads climbed from 12% a year in the early 60s to 50% a decade later, 150,000 to over 1.5 million.
So they're strategically trying to get people on welfare. Mike, this is continuing to roll, so it'll pop back up there.
Claude Piven tactics sent the city into bankruptcy in 75. Giuliani cited Claude and Piven by name as being responsible for an effort at economic sabotage.
Stay with us, guys. You'll be glad you know this when we're done. By the way, in this video, everything's sourced at the bottom.
Claude Piven created ACORN and many other radical organizations, the crowning achievement for the Association of Community Organizations for Reform. Now, ACORN was the Voter Act signed into law in 93. ACORN was one of the chief drivers of high-risk mortgage lending, which led to the financial crisis. It also created vast vulnerabilities in our electoral system, which ACORN then exploited.
Stop, Jared. Can you freeze that there a second? Guys, listen, now think this through. Remember the financial crisis of 2008? And it was all based on what? People getting loans, mortgages that they could not pay. In fact, they knew when they got the mortgages that they weren't going. The lenders knew they couldn't pay them. They knew, but they were being forced by the government to give these loans to people in under the guise of racism. They're racist. They can't get them because they're racist. Claude Piven is trying to get as many bad mortgages on the books to cripple the economic system. By the way, it worked. We crashed in 2008. Go ahead, Jared.
The motor voter law has also been used to open another vulnerability in the system, the registration of vast numbers of illegal aliens who then reliably vote Democrat.
Voter law is what? You come and you get your driver's license and you register to vote.
President, as Congress, simply don't have our interests at heart. They're implementing this strategy on an unprecedented scale by flooding America with a tidal wave of poisonous initiatives, orders, regulations, and laws. As Rahm Emanuel said, a crisis is a terrible thing to waste.
So they're creating crisis. They create crises. They create them where there aren't any, like transgender bathrooms.
In addition to overwhelming the government with demands for services, Obama Democrats are overwhelming political opposition to their plans with a flood of apocalyptic legislation. Their ultimate goal is to leave us so discouraged, demoralized, and exhausted that we throw our hands up in defeat. As Barney Frank said, the middle class will be too distracted to fight.
Who's the middle class? Yeah, white Christian heterosexuals.
These people are our enemies. They don't use guns yet, but they are just as dangerous, determined, and deceitful as the communists we faced in the Cold War, Korea, and Vietnam. Just as dangerous and covert as the Nazis we faced in World War II.
See, we've always taught the communists are other people. We got to fight the communists while they were giving us communism here.
It is time we fully internalized and digested this fact with all its ugly ramifications. These people have violated countless laws and could be prosecuted had we the political power. Their policies are unconstitutional and deliberately so. The goal is to make the Constitution irrelevant. Amen. Their spending is off the charts and will drive us into hyperinflation, but it could be rescinded had we the political power.
Will. Political will. We have the power. We don't have the will.
These policies are toxic, but they could be stopped and reversed had we the political power. Their ideologies are poisonous, but they could be exposed for what they are with long jail sentences as an object lesson had we the political will.
Hillary's still free, right? She's still walking around with all the miscreants she's done.
Barack Obama said in 2008, we are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
We thought he meant one thing and he meant another.
Barack Obama is an enigma. He won the 08 presidential election claiming to be a moderate and wanting to bring Americans together and govern from the center. But since he took office, his actions have been far from moderate. He has apologized to foreign dictators abroad for sins he alleges his own country committed and appointed a self-described communist, Van Jones, and an admirer of Mao Zedong to top White House posts. He has used the economic crisis to take over whole industries and has attempted to nationalize the healthcare system. In his first 9 months in office, these actions had already made his presidency one of the most polarizing in history.
Freeze it there, Jared. Hey, guys, do you remember that? Remember what went on with General Motors? And all the General Motors individual dealers all across America, they got closed down, and now the government took over General Motors. So, in other words, they create this crisis, and then the government comes in and grabs control of everything. That's what's going on. Go ahead, Jared. It's called the Alinsky model, by the way.
The real goal of healthcare legislation, the real goal of cap and trade, and the real goal of the stimulus is to rip the guts out of our private economy and transfer wide swaths of it over to the government to control. Don't be deluded by the propaganda. These initiatives are vehicles for change. They are not goals in and of themselves, except in their ability to deliver power. They will make matters much worse. That is their design.
That's why we have to be very careful in the last 6 months of this legislation. Will they create another crisis? Now, freeze it there. Well, we already see it going on, don't we? Guys, come on. Think about the immigrant crisis. No, the refugee crisis, right? Oh, we've got to bring in all these people. Bring all of them in. They've created this crisis. Got to bring them in. Go ahead.
The Congressional Budget Office estimates that President Obama's proposed budget will add more than $9.7 trillion to the national debt over the next decade. The Congressional Budget Office says that soaring deficits will force the Treasury to borrow at prodigious rates, sending a national debt soaring to an insane $22 to $24 trillion by 2020. Most prudent Americans would think these numbers trouble the Democratic leadership and President Obama. They would be wrong.
Stop it a second. Why would they be wrong? Because their plan is to overwhelm the economic system, particularly the government welfare system. That is their plan. That's why they're bringing in the Mexicans. That's why they're bringing in the refugees. That's why they have a recession that's putting people on unemployment. That's why they extended unemployment to how long did they have? Almost 3 years you could have been on unemployment. Because what? They want government control. Go ahead, Jared. Mike.
They would be wrong, not because the Democratic Party or the president are economically illiterate or bad individuals, but because the Democratic Party and the president are leftists. Most Americans, including most Democrats, do not understand the left.
Amen.
They may understand liberalism, but President Obama, Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, most Democratic representatives and senators are not liberals. They are leftists. And most Americans do not understand the difference between liberal and left.
In fact, they've used the term progressive on us now.
They do not realize there is no major difference between the American Democratic Party and the leftist social democratic parties of Western Europe. From Karl Marx to Obama, the left, as opposed to liberals, has never created wealth because it has never been interested in creating wealth. It is only interested in redistributing wealth. Unprecedented and unsustainable debt does not particularly disturb the left. The left really wants a huge government overseeing a giant welfare state and a country with far fewer rich Americans. The left mocks the three-bedroom home surrounded by a white picket fence to owning an SUV because Americans should be traveling on public buses, trains, and bicycles. The left has a very different vision of America than those who hold the founding values of America, most especially individualism and small government. And if the price of getting to a giant welfare state dominated by the left is America's steep financial decline, that is a price fully worth paying.
You understand that? Do you understand that? They are trying to bring down capitalism.
It took 213 years, 1789 to 02, to pile up $6 trillion in national debt. It only took 7 years, 02 to 09, 2002 to 2009, to double the national debt to $12 trillion. The national debt is slated to double again in 10 years, and this debt does not include the $106.8 trillion in Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security unfunded liabilities. This debt is unsustainable. History has proven that a democracy is always temporary in nature. It simply cannot exist as a permanent form of government. A democracy will continue to exist up until the time that voters discover that they can vote themselves generous gifts from the public treasury. From that moment on, the majority always votes for the candidates who promise the most benefits from the public treasury, with the result that every democracy will finally collapse over loose fiscal policy, which is usually followed by a dictatorship. The average age of the world's greatest civilizations from the beginning of history has been about 200 years. And during those 200 years, these nations have progressed through the following sequence.
Here we go.
From bondage to spiritual faith. From spiritual faith to great courage. From great courage to liberty. From liberty to abundance. From abundance to complacency. From complacency to apathy. From apathy to governmental dependency. From governmental dependency back into bondage. Where is America today?
By the way, this was done in 2008, I believe. Maybe 2010.
Many believe we're somewhere between the apathy and the complacency phase, with close to 60% of the nation's population already having reached the governmental dependency phase. Where will America be with Obamacare, cap and trade, amnesty for illegals? Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same. Or one day we will spend our sunset years telling our children what it was once like in the United States where men were free. Ronald Reagan said that.
We will spend our sunset years, that's me, telling our children what it was once like in the United States when men were free. So that's the Cloward-Piven strategy. Now, I want to open it up here a little bit. I got another thing I want to show you. Reactions, if your eyes are opening and seeing what's going on. See, we think they're doing it out of ignorance, and they're not doing it out of ignorance.
Coach?
Yeah.
I think it's really important for our Christians, and this is a Bible study, to understand that Cloward and Piven have used the attack on morality to, I think that's more important than the economic destruction that they're achieving. What they've done is demoralize Christians. Mm-hmm. by causing us to constantly think about homosexuality and abortion.
Amen.
And the effect of that, even when guys like us are defending the truth, it's continuous. It's continual, and it has it's like a drumbeat that demoralizes the good people.
So let's stop and think for a second. Why would the president go after transgender bathrooms? Because it's a distraction, because it creates a crisis, because it creates another set of minorities that have to be taken care of, or we have to give up our liberties to make sure that they are treated fairly. Larry, do you want to say something?
Yeah, I wanted to say, you know, that demoralization thing, it's double-barreled like some shotguns. Part of it is the morals or the living rules that people live by, and the other is the morale of Christians. The morale of Christians has been destroyed because we have no victories on our side.
Amen, very, very important point, Larry. Yep. Mm-hmm.
There are. We have no victories because we don't fight for victories. We fight for what they call that impasse. We fight for a tie.
But coach, it's more important than that. That Jesus said we need to every day take up our cross and follow after him. What is the cross? The cross is the ultimate power that's provided to the human soul. Why? Because you can take a stand for the truth even when you're being crucified.
Amen, bro. That's a good point.
Even when you're being crucified. We're not supposed to take up our resurrection every single day. We're not there yet. We're supposed to take up the cross every single day. And that gives Christianity this special power. That's what, here in Maine, we're running a referendum. We're in miracle territory. We're going to try to repeal gay rights. Maine has been debating this sodomy issue publicly for 20 years in referendums. We've voted countless times. Everybody's sick to death of it, especially the Christian. But yet I'm bringing it up again. Why? Because the only institution capable of carrying this fight forward is the institution that is told by its God to take up the cross every day and follow after him. To die daily. That we're the only institution that can save America, Christianity, because we have more courage than every other institution in the society. Built in. It's built into our faith. Built in.
JR just put up over here for on the side. I'm going to read this because this is powerful. In 2013, more than 69 million Americans, from college students to retirees, to welfare beneficiaries, depend on federal government for housing, food, income, student aid, or other assistance once considered to be the responsibility of individuals, families, neighborhood, churches, and other civil society institutions. So what Mike is saying, what Cloward and Piven is saying, what JR is saying, is they have now taken 69.5 million and made them dependent on who? The government.
And Coach, I just finished working for a government federally funded bus company. I was driving for them. The effect of the money coming from the federal government is to silence the free speech of every last worker.
Because once you start trying to speak out, Mike, they're going to say, hey, wait a minute, you get federal funding. You guys get federal funding, and there's a separation between the church and state. And if you're going to drive this bus, you're not going to promote Jesus. Yes, sir.
And it happened to me. It happened to me, what, 3 or 4 weeks ago. Because of this referendum, some liberal columnist wrote an attack piece. The television station swarmed. I was driving the bus. It has a logo on the side of it. And it happened in a matter of minutes. This tracker, they're called. The left has these people run around with cameras. And somehow they found out that I was going to be in front of a television camera in Capitol Park. They showed up, a tracker did, circled me. When the television reporter was done, the tracker interrupts and says to the television reporter, CBS television reporter, turn the camera back on and ask him this question. Ask him if he knows that this company that he's working for is federally funded. Federally funded. You see, and everybody feels that. Everybody feels that threat. They know that every worker. And so they silence themselves. We self-censor our speech.
Believing the lie of the separation between the church and state. So look at schools now, right? So Target does their thing. And what does homosexualist supporting Obama do? Never let a crisis go to waste. He doubles down on the schools. And what does he say to the schools, Mike? He says, if you don't fall in line and let boys and girls shower together, we're going to take the money. Give us the money back, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can't serve two masters, right? You can't serve God and money. I got when I went through my mess in London back in 2000, whenever that was, 1997, 98, I wasn't very bold. I wasn't very courageous, although I was learning every day. I was growing in faith every day. I got real freedom when I got to the point where I was able to say to the those in authority in London City Schools, do what you have to do, because I was looking for a job when I got this one. And when we're able to reach that point where we are not dependent upon money, only then do you become really free. And so what we see going on all across America today is they are putting you in bondage to money. I'll give you an example. My daughter, I don't know if I've announced this or not, our daughter, Maggie, our baby, Getting ready to have another little bambino. Praise the Lord. Give me four. And the economic system is doing everything it can to force her back to work. Because if they can force Maggie back to work, where do the kids go? Yep, you got it. You got it. That's where they go. And then the kids become trained by somebody that isn't their mommy. When I grew up, I was born in 1952. My parents raised five kids. My dad was a factory worker. My mom never worked. We had one car. And we thought we were the richest folks in all of Ohio. Now, if you have five kids, it's almost impossible. If you have one kid, it's almost impossible for the mother not to have to work. So what does the government do? Oh, we love the government, don't they? They're going to give us preschool. Free preschool. That's what's going on. Yes. Go, Raj.
I think as you, first of all, the video, unbelievable. Michael, did you lose your job because of this? Mike?
No, Roger.
Did your dad lose?
No, Roger. I, the Holy Spirit told me to stop driving the bus. Now,
got it.
Pray for me because I had to walk away from the income, and I'm throwing myself on the provision and grace of God.
Amen.
And you know, I've been in ministry my whole life. Coach had his story about school, public school and coaching. My story is worse in an important way. My story is about serving the church as a statewide leader.
Got it.
And being thrown under the bus because I would not relent. This was in 2009.
The church threw you under the bus. The church threw you under the bus.
That's,
hey, Dave, here's my comment. I think where the church is being, the demoralization of the church is where we now hear also, we win in the end.
Yeah.
We win in the end.
Because we can't win
that,
now.
Well, that's what they think.
But yeah.
We win in the end, and that's part of that demoralization of giving up. But we win in the end.
We win in the end. Hey, listen, I want to piggyback this. I want to bring up another video. Oh, no, that's not right, Jared. I sent you so many things this morning.
Three. The video you made?
No, I don't want that one. I want the other one. The strategy shows what's been implemented. Did you find? You know what I'm talking about, Jared? Somebody keep talking while I search here.
And Roger, while you're talking, add one more thing to that, and Coach, that we're taught, and that this is fresh off of a sermon I heard on Sunday, that we're to be persecuted. That's what we should expect. Don't try to get out of the road of it. Don't get ahead of God. If the persecution comes, even though you caused it yourself, if it comes, welcome it. Because, hey, they persecuted Christ.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
That's so sad.
And so what they do, see, the persecution they do, Jared, I'm forwarding this to you. She'll pop up now. See what? Listen, guys, much of what they do with their persecution is to scare others.
Yeah. That's what they do. Well, I agree that we are. We expect persecution. I mean, the Word of God clearly says so.
Yes.
But I do not agree that we're just supposed to roll over and take it and say, "Give me more."
Amen,
no.
Buddy.
When you're persecuted, you're to take up the cause of the cross and fight back. Take it to them. Go
Amen.
On offense.
Amen, brother. Amen. Jared, did you get that yet, bud? Check your email. I just sent it to you because I think it's important. While Jared's pulling this up, guys, I'm looking at my own screen. He'll have it up there for you in a second. This just came out yesterday, 2 days ago. Pardon me. And it asked the question: how many of the eight Cloward and Piven strategies have been accomplished in America? Isn't it amazing? How many of them have been already accomplished? And it's, I'm not going to read all of it to you. You'll be able to see it. But listen to these things, guys. Cloud Pivot strategy. Strategy number one, healthcare. Remember, the government must control healthcare. Once it does, it controls the people. How about that? Number two, poverty. The government must increase poverty level as much as possible. Poor people are easier to control and will not resist control of the government because they provide everything for them to live. So when the economy crashes, everybody's going to run to the government. That's when all the fun's going to start. Listen to this. The poverty rate stood at more than 15% for three consecutive years under Obama. There are 6 million more people in poverty under Obama today than when he came into office. Obama has set the record for the number of Americans not working. 102 million Americans are not working. 102 million Americans are not working. You hear that? The number of unemployed Americans has increased to roughly 25%. The government is lying to us about the statistics. Our unemployment is 25% at least. Roughly 60% of Americans are fully employed under Obama. That means 40% aren't. Number three, debt. Increase the national debt to non-sustainable level. Remember, we saw these. Obama has the lowest average first quarter growth in American history. National debt's over $19 trillion and climbing. Compare the deficits to those before. Well, we didn't need to go there. Four, gun control. The government must remove citizens' ability to defend themselves. Removing weapons from the hands of free people is the surest way to create a police state. Okay, here's what's coming. When the financial crash comes, which is coming, they're going to say to millions of Americans, you come and we're going to provide food, we're going to take care of you, but you have to bring your weapon. Turn in your weapons. It's coming. Oh, remember, Obama's trying to do executive orders. They're unconstitutional. Number five, welfare. The government must take control over every aspect of people's lives, food, housing, and income. For the first time in history, total welfare spending reached $1 trillion in 2013. Under Obama, a record number of people are on Medicaid. 72 million, one out of 4 Americans are on Medicaid, 47 million people. In 2009, 31.9 million people received food stamps. Today, it's 46 million. Oh, my goodness. And number six, education. Government must take control of all information being communicated, Common Core. Seven, the government must remove Christian belief in God from public places and government and public schools, yada, yada, yada. Eight, class warfare. Government must create class division among the people, dividing them by skin color, education. Bluebirds hang with bluebirds. Redbirds hang with redbirds. Yada, yada, yada. So, guys, we are almost already there in the Cloud Pivot strategy. Now, what's going to happen here in the next few months? How far are we from the election? This is June, July, August, September, October, November's the election. December, January, 7 more months. Can be a lot of havoc wreaked in 7 more months. I heard something yesterday. You're going to think I'm crazy, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway. That only a fool would be inside Quicken Loans Arena in Cleveland, Ohio for the coming Republican convention. That it would not be beyond the realm of possibility that a huge mass explosion and killing of all those Republicans in that building could occur. Blame it on terrorism, blame it on whatever you want to. Trump gone, Republican leadership gone, Tea Party gone, Tea Party leaders gone, and now all that's left is the Democrats. Obama would have to say, oh my goodness, this is awful. I'm going to stay in office. I'm going to stay in office till we get this. Does anybody find that beyond the realm of possibility? Now, that stuff being discussed in church? And should it be? What's the response of the church? No, no, no. We're not going to get involved with politics. We're just going to preach the gospel. That's all we do. We just preach the gospel. Do that again, JR. Say it and do it. Speak no evil. Hear no evil. See no evil. We're all going to be raptured out of here. Just hang on, boys. Jesus is coming. Just hang on. We're not appointed unto wrath. No matter how bad it looks outside, keep coming to church. Keep paying the tithes. And by the way, don't you dare get on that Google Hangout with that crazy coach. Stephen. Hang on, man. Unmute yourself.
No, I haven't done that in a while. I was thinking when you said that, I had envisioned a Christian's head being on the chopping block, and as their head's being chopped off, they're still believing the rapture's going to come.
Well, they will be raptured right then, brother, that's for sure. It'll happen for them right then. See, here, listen, guys. We have underestimated the depth of evil. We've underestimated it. We think the devil just wants your finances and your health. Maybe your kids. But other than that, he's not worried.
Yeah. You know, Coach, I think if you're hanging your hat on the rapture, you're going to get ruptured first.
Yeah, well, I'm not hanging my hat on it. I'm not. So tomorrow, I told you this. I wanted to do this one first. Tomorrow, I'm going to show you actively. You can believe this stuff or not. It doesn't matter. The active advancement of Satan in Switzerland with the, endorsement of the government, the invitation of Satan. Now, listen, guys, this stuff is right. It's the devil has become so brazen. It's right out there for everybody to see. Now, what does the scripture say? Scripture says he knows his time is short. So it's like, he's coming out of hiding because he's got a lot of stuff he's got to get done. He doesn't have a whole lot of time to do it. And by the way, what if that crazy multi-billionaire gets elected? Now he wants to cut off all of the Mexicans coming across. He wants to kill all those Muslims, and he wants to put America first. That kind of pees on this whole Cloward and Piven strategy, doesn't it? And those who have been blindly, I got to be careful what I say, believing that the right Christian candidate in office is going to make a difference. Guys, this battle is so dark, so big, so vast. And we're twiddling our thumbs, keeping the devil out of my finances, worrying about transgender bathrooms, while there's something much bigger, much huger going on. Couple minutes. Anybody?
Hey, Coach, do you remember back in 2011 when that Senate Bill 510, I believe it was, the one about the control of pesticides around the world, and you know, Monsanto played a big role right in the legislation and everything, but it was basically a governmental grab at total control of the entire food distribution chain around the world.
Right.
The Tea Party took it up as a cause, and phone calls and letters and emails and everything. It was tabled. It did not pass the Senate Bill 510. But very few people realize that just a few months later, in the month of December, you know, that time in November to December, in the month of December, there was a defense appropriations bill that was passed, and just minutes before the vote was taken on the defense appropriations bill, the entire Senate 510 bill was introduced as an amendment to the military appropriations bill with exactly letter for letter, word for word, S-510 was put on as an amendment to that appropriations bill and passed. It is now law. The government's been sitting on it, but they have that law to use in their arsenal to have 100% total control of every aspect, including your garden. My garden I'm growing in my backyard right now is against the law, according to S510.
The enemy is never asleep. He never rests, and he will be able to control the people through their bellies. Don't miss tomorrow in the video on the glorification of Satan in Switzerland. You ain't going to believe it. Tell your friends about this. Get them in here. Our people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And I'm going to tell you what your pastor won't. Please join us tomorrow. Coach Dave, we'll see you then. God bless you.